Turning back to our Old Testament reading in 2 Chronicles and chapter 24. By way of a title, I'm thinking of a good start, but a bad end. Good start and a bad end. And that's what we're going to look at in the life in particular of this king of Judah, Joash, who reigned 835 to 796 BC. He's the king of Judah. Chapter 24 begins with the good start. He was a boy with a good start. And indeed, for many years, he continued in that good start and walk. Notice it says Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zebiah of Beersheba, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him two wives, and he begot sons and daughters. He was 7 years old when he began to reign. Of course, not himself in making great decisions that would affect the nation. That would have been those that were about him, counselors and advisors, etc. And one of the chief was this man that's named the priest, Jehoiada. And he exerted a great influence upon young Joash, as is evident from what we read. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. How many get a good start in life? Here's a man with a good start. A boy with a good start. He's 7. But he has the right people about him. He has godly influence exerted upon him. He has this priest who it seems owns him like his own son. Instructs him, teaches him. He's termed his father. He isn't his biological father. He's a spiritual father to him. I wonder how many of us in our small little number had such a start in life. If you're born into a Christian home, you're like a Joash. You've had wonderful opportunities, a wonderful start, wonderful influences upon you, and hopefully, for the most part, wonderful examples of how to live. And this boy had all these advantages. But remember the title of the little address and sermon. It's a good start, but a bad end. See, wonderful influences are not sufficient. They can maintain and hold you. They can bless your life. They can protect you from so much. But that's insufficient. For you see, you will have to stand alone. You will be wholly exposed to the negative and the bad influences. And unless you're the Lord's, you're doomed. You're not powerful enough. You've no strength of your own. All the influence that you've had, all the teaching that was given to you, and even example presented, that won't keep you. Certainly won't save you. Won't bring you into a right relationship with the Lord. You've got to do that for yourself. Repent and believe. Joash has a wonderful start, but he has an awful end. Terrible, calamitous end to a life that started so well and probably, and no doubt, promised so much. What potential! And look, this influence, why, it continued for years. We're told he did that which was right as long as Jehoiada was alive. He reigned for 40 years, we're told. Not all of that with Jehoiada, but for the most part, Jehoiada was there beside him. Now again, if you've had a good start, take advantage of it. Thank God for it. Get alone with him. Praise him for the start that you've had. Many don't have a good start at all. But you know, for Joash, it would have been, at worst, for him, if he'd had a bad start, but a great finish. And many have been such. They didn't have the advantages, but by the grace of God, what an end to their life. Because they're converted. Because they become the Lord's. Look what's meant by this good start. This doing right in the sight of the Lord. You have that from verses 4 to 14. Not going to go down it verse by verse. But look what he was involved in. Look what he was engaged in. The life that he was living. Here he is, the boy growing up, influenced and taught by Jehoiada, wants to repair and make right what a wicked old woman had done wrong and destroyed and marred in the house of God, what influence she was to those about her. But look at verse 4. It came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord, was in a state of disrepair. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not, and the king called for Jehoiada the chief priest, and said unto him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel, for the tabernacle of witness? Why, he even tells off Jehoiada. He's so keen. He's so influenced. He's now got the bit between his teeth. He wants to repair the temple. He needs money to do it. He says this was commanded by Moses, given to him, that this was a requirement, that there were donations to be made for the upkeep of the temple. The tabernacle then the temple. And so he says, now, Jehoiada, you're not going about this very diligently. Why not? He's the king. You know, we've heard little children, wonderful start in life, taught the things of God, Sunday school teachers, instruction, read things for themselves, been brought up, why they could tell the Christians off. And they've done so. And they've corrected the Christian. And they know when a Christian steps out of life. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what you should have done, Mum. That's not what you should have done, Dad. That's not nice. That's not right. They know. They're loaded up with the truth. You see how far it can influence and affect. That little mind that's like the sponge we often refer it to or liken it to. And it soaks in the teaching. And it takes it in so well, it could correct you. Even as a Christian, and tell you, you shouldn't say that now. You shouldn't have done that now. That's not what the Bible teaches. And they're quite right. What truth. How much he's got. Jehoiada, press on with this. The word commands it. The Bible says so. This is God's purpose and plan. This is God's method and means of maintaining the temple. It's in a terrible state. Let's rebuild it. Go and get that money. See that it's done. For Luke, verse 7, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord, did they bestow upon Balaam. He's reclaiming the things of God for use in the worship of God. Why, he's so greatly influenced. What a start. And he's continuing through boyhood. He's now, what, in his teens? Early 20s? He's given the instructions. He's speaking as the king. And rightly so. And verse 8, at the king's commandment, they made a chest, set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord, and made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. Well, I won't go on further, but right down to verse 14, you see how zealously he goes about this work. And they get the money, and they rebuild the temple, they repair it, and it says they strengthen it. He makes it as good. He makes it as good as it had been, even better. Now then again, have you had such a good start? You're conscious of what God requires of you. You know the truth. Why it's influenced your thinking and your living. You're convinced it's true. But be extremely careful, unless it becomes part and parcel of your inner being, unless you have a right relationship with the Lord, that there's a true union between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all up here. This will affect the life and decisions you make and things you do whilst you're young. Still protected from the wicked or negative influences when you get away from mum and dad and home, when you get up there living on your own. Why the powers of darkness and the negative can have its effect. And all that goodness and all that truth and influence can just be like a siphon, or siphoned out of your mind, out of your heart, to have no impact in the life at all. That's a tragedy, you know. Many do start well. By God's grace, they are advantaged, they are greatly privileged, but they don't make the best of that. They don't use that as they ought. I read that passage from Matthew very deliberately, because Christ there pictures this kind of life, that which had the influence of the things of God around it, about it, teaching, instruction, even example. You remember how Christ pictures this life? He says it's like one that's clean. One that's like a house that's been cleansed from top to bottom. The great dark, evil and wicked influences and spirit are not at home. Why? It's driven them out. A lot of the natural, where we would go naturally, if we hadn't had the influence and the teaching and the upbringing that we have had as those born in a Christian home, coming to a Christian church, reading the scriptures, taught the scriptures. Well, if we had never had that, we would never have been clean in any way. We would have just got worse and worse and worse as we grew. And that's the way with many. But for those that are born similarly, as all are, with a corrupted nature, but they have these wonderful influences upon them, it keeps things at bay. It's as Christ pictures it, it keeps the evil spirit out. It drives them away. But all it does is make a vacant house. Now, that's good. That's a wonderful start. That's a wonderful place to be and privilege. Empty, free of some of the gross, wicked, sinful influences and practices because of your upbringing and influences about you. But then fill the house. You can't leave it empty. Soon, everything starts to crumble in an empty house. That's the picture. But of course, there'll be those seeking to get back in. And Christ pictures this, doesn't he, of the Jewish nation. They, in a sense, were cleansed. They were kept. His arrival, he's come, his own preaching. But that drove the Spirit out. But instead of receiving him as their king, receiving him not only as the king of the nation, but as their own personal savior. Why then the spirits couldn't come back? But Christ says, but what happens? They rejected him. They didn't receive him. They didn't trust him. They didn't enter into a personal, deep relationship with him. The house was clean. But the spirits come back. Oh, this one that's been out, he brings 7 friends with him this time. And says Christ, the last state of that person is worse than at the beginning. That's how it'll end up with you. Lest you receive Christ, lest you fill the house, if it's empty and there aren't those great or dark influences at the moment that lead to the gross and sinful practices, sins of the flesh and all such things, hardening of heart against God, rejecting God, stopping worship of God, not attending his house. This is what happens to so many over time. Isn't that so? You've seen it. You know it's true. Well, don't be one of them. Don't be one like that. Don't go down that road. Here we're seeing an Old Testament picture of it. Why Joash? What a start. You'd looked at Joash, you'd said, what a believer. What a king. What a person. Look what he's doing. You see how tragic he ends. See, he has no real relationship with God. The influences are telling. And they do influence him. He makes these decisions. He has the temple rebuilt. He gathers the money. He does what's required of him. But the big change. Verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Well, what a testimony. Just pause with Jehoiada in this text, in this verse. He was a priest, not a king, but they bury him like a king. He's given a state funeral. He is honored greatly. He did good, says the text. Verse 16, both toward God and toward his house. He had done good in Israel. Will that be your epitaph? Will it be said of you and me, because it's all that will matter, thinking of epitaphs, these words or something similar, he did good, she did good. And in what sense? Not in just good works and deeds and charitable things and tending church, No, much more than that. No, a right relationship with God. Jehoiada did what he did, taught the way he did, taught the king as the boy in the way that he did the things of God, taught the nation, taught the people, was an example before them because he knew the Lord. Because it wasn't just something intellectual with him. He had a real faith. He was a changed person. He was indwelt by the Spirit of God. That's what makes the difference. That's what enables us to continue and to maintain a life seeking to please the Lord with power over sin. Not perfectly, but power. Real power, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. See, the king died, and he's buried, not like a king. Jehoiada's a priest, but he's buried like a king. You see the difference? Oh, how many funerals have you been to? How many have you heard? How many times perhaps you've been to the funeral of a believer, a genuine believer, and they're buried, as it were, with honor because they served the Lord. They knew him. They walked with him. Humble may have been their background in their whole life, but they lived as a believer. They served the Lord. They did good. They spoke to others, they witnessed to others, they served the Lord in some maybe even rather obscure way that not many people know much, if anything, about. But they were known to be the Lord's. They're buried like a king. But then there are those who have all so much materially. Live for themselves, no living for the Lord, no sacrifice for the Lord. It's all about themselves. And then what? Come to the end of life. What? You can't say of them, they did good. No, look, it is said of Jehoiada though, he did good. He had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. He served the house of God now. This isn't his own house. In fact, in some ways, the opposite might be said of a Christian. They're not overly concerned about building a big house and having things for themselves. It's the Lord's house. It's the cause of Christ. That's important and it matters. It was to Jehoiada. Is this in your own heart? Here's the evidence of a Christian. Of a right relationship. That's what kept Jehoiada going for, look, an awful long time. He's 130 years old when he died. Faithful to the end. You need to know the Lord. You need to be in a right relationship with him. Well, he served the Lord. He's buried like a king. Now, verse 17. Because here's what happens. Here's the bad finish, the bad end. Joash started well, done so well. Jehoiada's gone. You get out on your own. No Christian influence. Nobody holding you up. Now you've got to stand. Now you've got, as we say, sink or swim. Are you a real Christian? Will you stand? Will you sink? Or will you swim? Well, if you're the Lord's, you'll do the swimming because he'll hold you up. If you're not, you're going to sink. And that's what happens with Joash. Jehoiada's removed from the scene. He's finished the work. Verse 16, they buried him in the city of David among the kings. because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now, verse 17. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. You see what's said and how quickly, after it's telling us Jehoiada died. What's it saying? The good influence is gone. Now the bad ones are right there. They have jumped in. Who was restraining them? Who was holding them back? This is what they have wanted to do, perhaps for years. They're not people of God. They don't want to live for Jehovah. No, they want groves. They want idols. They've aligned themselves with something else. Things more important. Idols, better gods, if you like. So they lined themselves up with them. Look, came after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. They abandoned the worship of God. Now, a true believer would have stood. He would have removed them if he truly knew the Lord in a moment. He would have seen them for what they were. He would no doubt have had them executed, taken away. God had actually said that's what he should do. If any rose up and tried to take the people of God from him and his worship and his truth, God said, remove them. Protect the people. Protect the nation. Messiah's coming through it. How important it was. Have you got bad influences about you now? You're listening to the world. You know, it's like Lord Ha Ha. You know, if you remember the man, propagandist for the Germans in his broadcasts to the troops to discourage them. They couldn't see him, but he was constantly on the radios and on the airwaves trying to get people to listen. Telling them to surrender was no good, no point fighting. They were a spent force, they were beaten, the Germans were superior, it's just a matter of time. And there it was going out as often as he could. This world does something similar. It's constantly sounding out its corruption, its heresy, its falsehood. It's constantly feeding the mind, just through media, through friends, through bad influence, bad example, constantly bombarding the mind. So you don't listen. So you abandon the things of God. So you turn from them. So you give yourself to them. They become the closest friends. They become the great influence in the life. That's what happened to Joash. And how much influence in how quick a time. All those years with Jehoiada, why, it's as if he was no more than a couple of minutes with him. Because all that he learned, and look what he did, remember, and his repairing of the temple, it would all count for nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that despite correction and warning and challenge from the Lord himself. In his mercy, he, as it were, affirmed the truth of Jehoiada. Look at verse 19. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. nor the bad influence. They've won the day. And when you start to go down that road away from God, you're more and more inclined to listen to the bad influence. Once you've started rejecting, once you've started ignoring, once you start to turn from devotion to God, from a sincere and earnest pursuit of God, to know Him better, to know Him much more and get closer to the Lord, once that begins, it's very, very hard to come back. The bad influence, has such an influence. Even correction. The prophets were sent, but they would not give ear. Verse 20, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. He has a true son, biological son. Another priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? See, the bad friends and the bad influence was saying, prosperity. And it's as if they'd put a signpost up with one big arrow, prosperity this way. But you see, the Lord is this way. Prosperity as far away from God as you can get. Happiness, satisfaction, fun, joy, all this way. Come this road. The Lord, forget Him. Abandon Him. His will, His ways, His word. Now Joash is listening. Now he's going that way. And to what extent can you be taken? Listen, be extremely careful. This is calamitous. This is the biography, if you like, of so many other people. Obscure. They weren't kings. They're not written in the Bible. But thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times, this has been the life of those that were so advantaged when they were born and for many years of their life. But when they got up and it was time to live and make their own choices and decisions, they moved away from the Lord and they went very far. Wonder if we could know how many people in this country that are now living the most dissolute life you can imagine were actually born in a Christian home or under Christian influence. And I mean true Christian, evangelical Christian, biblical Christian, that they were taught these things, embraced them, believed them, even to some extent lived them out, avoided awful things, wicked things. But now, they're a million miles away. And look what happens here. It's almost unbelievable that this king could do such a thing. But look, the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah. He challenged them. He told them they can't prosper. And because ye have forsaken the Lord, verse 20, He hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against Him and stoned Him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. This is Jehoiada's son. Jehoiada. Joash, that did so much good for you. That was such a blessing, such a help, such a friend, such a counselor. You've had his son stoned because he told you the same truth Jehoiada told you. Because he warned you. Because God sent him to speak to you. You despised him that much. You had him put to death. Stone him. Thus 22, Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son, Zedekiah's father. And when he died, he said, "The Lord look upon it and require it." You might be one that opposes the church and her message. Though you once believed it, though you once answered the questions about it in the Sunday school, though you could pass an exam, it's amazing how many with a good start, how good they were at RE in school. All that teaching, you know, and there they were, RE, who stood out. Those that were taught the things of God. They knew their Bible, brought up with it. They had additional teaching. They were hearing it from parents. They were reading it themselves. They were taught it in the Sunday schools. Oh, they could pass exam after exam with very high marks. But it didn't change their heart. And it won't stop a bad end. No, Jehoash had an awful end. Time's way gone. But look, it says verse 23, this is after now. He is opposed the truth. He's rejected the truth. He's listened to those princes that said, not Jehovah, that's not the way, not God, not service for him, not living for him. Let that go. We've got more exciting gods to tell you about. Worship some of these. See what you get. See what you'll receive. He falls for it. Zechariah is put to death, and then verse 23, it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people. Well, where did their influence get them? Where did their life take them? How did they die? These so influential princes that take Joash so far away from God. Where did it take them? They're slain. And it didn't take much. And it's almost spoken with an irony. It's as if they set themselves up and they would live without God. They would find, as it were, life itself. It says, it came to pass at the end of the year, the host of Syria came up against them. Now look, verse 24, for the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand. Doesn't matter what you've got. Doesn't matter what you've achieved. It doesn't matter how strong a character or person you are. You cannot stand against the judgment of God. You'll succumb. You'll be taken away. And it won't take much. They're panicking in different parts of the world at this moment. What's coming out of Wuhan? An infection. What will it do? Will it get worse? Will it affect hundreds, then thousands? Could it become a pandemic? Was it a great military force that come and attacked Wuhan? Why, it was a virus. You see it? No one's seen it. And the Lord says, come, we'll go. It won't take much. And go we will. And go to judgment. The ignominious end for Joash. And I'll just finish. I'll not read the verses, but if you read them again, you'll see it was some of his own that slew him. Servants. They weren't even born Jewish, we're told. They were a son of an Ammonite, yes, and son of a Moabite, yes. They were already there. It's as if planted to take him away. Have you had a good start? Have the things of God very much influenced your living? That'll be a wonderful thing. It has spurred you so much, spurred so many so much. It's why some never will become drug addicts, never will become terribly immoral, will live pretty much upright lives because of the godly influence. But don't settle for mere godly influence. It's a wonderful privilege. But if you're not saved, your goodness, your good living counts for nothing. You need perfection. You need the perfect righteousness of Christ. You need to come to Him and receive Him and trust in Him. Make it real. Make it heart as well as mind. Know the Lord. Live for Him. Serve Him. Die like Jehoiada, not Joash. Do good. True good. Is conversion good? Salvation good? Then walk with the Lord and live for Him.